So this evening, I'd like to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, text number 14. This is a well-known verse, so I request the devotees to repeat. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Yatantas chadrida vrata. Namasyantas chamam bhakcha. Nitya yukta upasate. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Yatantas chadrida vrata. Namasyantas chamam bhakcha. Nitya yukta upasate. Translation. Lord Krishna said, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport, the Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He's always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he's not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they're sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live his life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari. In any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually a Mahatma, a great soul. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha dridavrata namasyantas cha mambhakcha nitya yukto pasate. Lord Krishna said, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this verse describes the activities of the devotees. Devotees are persons who love to chant Hare Krishna. Whenever there's kirtan, they're very enthusiastic to join, singing, dancing, and absorbing themselves in the transcendental sound vibration of Lord Krishna's holy names. Not only that, they like to chant japa. as attentively as possible. And also they like to glorify Krishna, speak about Krishna, repeat the pastimes of Lord Krishna, discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, share topics, Krishna conscious topics together, revealing their minds in confidence and hearing others reveal their minds in confidence. It doesn't mean to listen to one another's worries and speculations, but it means to speak in a Krishna conscious way to one another. So like that, devotees are using their speech. We all have the speaking propensity and hearing propensity. So the speaking and hearing propensity is used in a Krishna conscious way. And of course, devotees endeavor with determination. They like to engage in devotional service, practical devotional service, not just theoretical Krishna consciousness, but to do something practical. Prabhupada liked devotees to be practical. There's a nice story how Prabhupada was coming out of his house in Vrindavan early one morning. In early morning, the devotees would clean the pathways around the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So Prabhupada was coming out, and there's one of my godbrothers. I saw him in Vrindavan just yesterday and day before he was there. Bishal Prabhu, his name is Bishal Prabhu. Actually, this devotee was one of the first devotees I met in Krishna consciousness in 1971. First day I came to the temple, devotees gave me prasadam, took me on Harinama. Evening, Srila Prabhupada was giving lectures, so I heard Prabhupada the first day. And after a couple of days, I came again. And when I entered the temple, this devotee was standing in the hallway. And he had a big Krishna book, you know, the silver cover and picture of Radha Krishna. And he thrust it into my hand. He said, "It's a very auspicious day to take this book, to purchase this book, because the spiritual master will be speaking this evening." So I asked him how much it costs. He said, £2.50. It's in London, huh? Pounds, shillings, pence, huh? £2. I think in those days it wasn't 50 pence. £2.06. No, sorry, 10 shillings. 20 shillings in a pound, as I recall. And 12 pence in a shilling. That was the system. So anyway, £2.50. So I took out my wallet. I gave him a £5 note. And those days it was the biggest note, £5. And he said, "Okay, take the book," he said, "and wait, I'll bring you change." He went downstairs. The prasadam room was in the basement, and he went down there, and he came back not with a change, but with another volume. Second volume was also a silver cover with it. Dwarkadish on the cover, to my recollection. Huh? And he also thrust it into my hand. "Why don't you take both for £5? So I said, "Okay." Then I gave my wallet to him because, you know, I thought, let me donate whatever is there. maybe 15 pounds total. Take this. So he went downstairs again. He came back, gave me back the wallet, without the money, of course. He said, "We don't use leather here." Anyway, Vishal Prabhu, he was a very bold devotee. And in Vrindavan, he used to go in Prabhupada's room and just talk very freely to Prabhupada. Most of us were pretty timid. We wouldn't do like that. But, you know, he had that nature, you know, very gregarious nature, very friendly nature, and familiar type also. So, but he loved Prabhupada, you know, very much, and he loved to glorify Prabhupada. And so this morning, Prabhupada was coming out from his house, and Vishal Prabhu was standing with his palms folded. He has a round face and round body, like Brahmin, you know, like a plump Brahmana. So, we think we have met your grace by the will of providence. That there's a verse in the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. There, the sages in Naimisrani, they're glorifying Suta Goswami. We think we have met your grace by the will of providence, just to accept you as captain of the ship for those who are desirous to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali. So he was glorifying Prabhupada. We think we have met your grace by the will of providence. And Prabhupada stopped him. And he had a cane. Prabhupada walked with a cane. So he pointed on the ground, tapped on the ground. There was a puddle of dirty water there. "Is this the will of providence?" And Vishal Prabhu said, "No, Srila Prabhupada. It's my fault, it's my fault." And Prabhupada said, "Do something practical." He said, "Clean it up." So like that, Prabhupada liked the devotees to be engaged in practical service. Working hard. Work now, samadhi later. That's one of Prabhupada's famous sayings. Be busy in Krishna consciousness. So much to do to expand the Sankirtan movement, to distribute books. There was even a controversy in New York once between two sannyasis, and one sannyasi said, "Devotees should attend morning evening program and go on Sankirtan during the day." And another said, "Attend morning and evening program, then further classes and study up till lunch, then take prasadam, maybe take a little rest, I don't know, then go out for some Sankirtan." But Prabhupada actually, he supported the first, at least that was for the time, those times, that's what he wanted. He wanted the devotees to go out and work hard and distribute books and preach Krishna consciousness, and this would, you know, enliven them, purify their consciousness. Of course, in conjunction with morning and evening program, Prabhupada wanted the devotees to attend the programs, to chant Hare Krishna, to hear from his books, and to ask questions and discuss the transcendental topics. But this was the forum which Prabhupada created, the morning program, evening program, for that purpose. So in that way, he was always pushing the devotee. He said, "This is a pushing movement, actually." Once some devotee was complaining, "The Sankirtan leader is pushing us on Sankirtan," and Prabhupada said, "You should be grateful. He is saving you from Maya." So he called like that. He called the pushing movement. If you want to serve Krishna in Kali Yuga, you have to serve the Sankirtan movement. So therefore, devotees endeavor with great determination in the service of Guru and Krishna. They're enthusiastic to do their service nicely also. One should, of course, it's said we should leave the result up to Krishna. Ultimately, it's true. But that doesn't mean that one does his service in a very haphazard way. He doesn't really care about the result. It's up to Krishna anyway. You know. No, the devotee should try to offer his service to Krishna as nicely as possible, as perfectly as possible. Suppose one is cooking for the Lord. One tries to cook, you know, the preparations as tasty as possible, punctually as possible, and with cleanliness, high standard. Because we are serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees of the Lord, therefore one should endeavor to perform one's service as perfectly as possible. And of course, the devotees bow down before Krishna, not only before Krishna, but also before Guru and before the Vaishnavas, Vanchakalpa, Tarubhyascha, Kripasindhubhyavacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Krishna said, one who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is a devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So sometimes you hear people say, I don't need Guru. No. Krishna is guiding me. This is wrong conception. Krishna himself says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshina. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Render service to him, inquire from him submissively. This is Krishna's formula. But sometimes we also hear people say, I have got my guru. I am getting instruction from my guru. I don't need to listen to anybody else. This is also wrong. You see. We may get some instruction from our guru, some general instruction, or even some specific service a guru may give us. But he is not going to be standing over us, constantly telling us, do this, do that, do the other thing. He may be traveling here and there, far away. So many decisions we have to take without getting the direct instruction from our guru. Therefore, it is advised to consult the Vaishnavas, consult senior Vaishnavas, even to consult also Vaishnavas on a similar level. Rupa Goswami has advised in the Upadeshamrita, we should serve and respect and hear from those who are senior. We should make friendship, offer obeisances to those who are on a similar level. We should set a good example and give good instruction to those who are junior. Sometimes we may even ask their opinion also. Prabhupada would ask opinion of disciples in different, you know, in different situations. They are also devotees. He liked to be surrounded by devotees. So his disciples would accompany him. He would discuss with them. He would sometimes take advice in different topics. So like that, this is the example we should follow. Not to be thinking, I'll only hear from Krishna or I'll only hear from my guru. But we have to understand how Guru and Krishna speak to us through the Vaishnava devotees, and we should develop, you know, close relation, friendship with the Vaishnava devotees, that we will be protected from Maya because of having so many good associates. We need association, and we are prone to be influenced by the association that we keep. If we keep the association of thieves or drunkards, we'll tend to imitate their activities or just to be accepted in their company, to have friendship with them. But that, of course, is very dangerous. It is very inadvisable. But if we keep the association of devotees, we'll be influenced by devotees. We'll be influenced to chant Hare Krishna, we'll be influenced to serve Krishna, influenced to discuss the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So this is very healthy protection. And there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It describes those famous verses, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, that one who is fortunate by the grace of Guru and Krishna, he gets the creeper of devotion, the seed of devotion, Bhakti Lata Bij, Mali Hao Kori Bijaropan, Shravana Kirtana Jali Kori Ase Chan. One should plant that seed in his heart and water by the hearing and chanting process. Lord Chaitanya goes on to explain that a seed begins to grow, it becomes a creeper, small creeper. And one has to go on watering by hearing and chanting. But that small creeper, it may easily be uprooted or damaged. Strong wind or some animal may come. It's very fragile. Therefore, generally the gardener will put some fencing around to protect the creeper. And this way it can go on growing stronger, stronger, stronger. So that fencing, what is that fencing? Yes, association of devotees, fencing. This protects our creeper of Krishna consciousness, and it can, in the association of devotees, it can flourish, it can grow stronger and stronger, it can produce fruits and flowers. So in this way, a devotee who takes proper association and who respects the Vaishnavas and who lives harmoniously with the Vaishnavas, his creeper of devotion, it will be very productive. He will be Krishna conscious and he will emanate Krishna consciousness, and in his service also he will be effective, practical and effective. So in this way he can become a good example for other devotees, inspire other devotees to engage in devotional service and to practice Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said that third class devotee, he can only be engaged in his service that he wants to do. Very conditional. Still, he's a devotee, so somehow he should be engaged. Second class, he can be engaged in any kind of service. Even he doesn't want to do it, still he will accept the austerity of doing it. He knows that it's good for me. First class, he doesn't even need to be told, because he understands what needs to be done. Krishna conscious. Of course, he is consulting, but he understands the mission of the spiritual master. Such devotee, they may be sent here and there to preach and expand the Krishna conscious movement. They understand what has to be done. So this is very nice to develop that kind of Krishna consciousness that can be developed by the grace of Guru, by the grace of the Vaishnavas. Because such a person, he is trained nicely in Krishna consciousness, and due to his submissive and cooperative nature, his spiritual master or spiritual masters, they bestow their blessings upon him. The Vaishnavas bestow their blessings. Krishna bestows his blessings so that such a devotee can be effective and in fact becomes it acharya, one who teaches by example, by practical example. This is because of the humility, Krishna conscious humility in Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness with the proper attitude, as Lord Chaitanya advises, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So, yes, we should always chant Hare Krishna, but we should develop the proper attitude in chanting, not thinking ourselves great, always ready to glorify other devotees, to see the good virtues in others, to see the faults in oneself, try to uproot those faults, and to be inspired by the virtues in others. If one sees the virtues in others, then he is meditating on good things, good qualities, and he will develop those good qualities. If he sees the faults in others, then, you know, if he meditates on those faults, he becomes a fault finder, then he will also start to exhibit those faults himself. So better to dwell on the good qualities in others and try to uproot the faults, and in this way be a simple and humble devotee, and appreciate and be inspired by the character and example and service of other devotees. So in this way, a devotee should be humble, bowing down before Krishna, bowing down before Guru, bowing down before the Vaishnavas. It's important. Prabhupada, actually, he stressed that devotees should attend Guru Puja and bow down and offer flowers, because this creates the proper mentality, the proper attitude of humility. So in this way, devotees are engaging their thoughts and words and deeds always in the service of Krishna, and endeavor to develop bhakti, Krishna consciousness, and with devotion. So that is Mahatma. The term, Prabhupada is commenting here on the word Mahatma, because the word Mahatma, although it doesn't appear in this verse, it actually appears in the previous verse. Mahatmanas tu mam parta. Daivim prakritam ashuta bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They're fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So this verse is continuing with the description of Mahatma. And therefore, Prabhupada has, you know, commented on the word Mahatma in the purport. Can it be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man? Well, could be some reference here to a certain political leader who was certainly a great personality, highly respected in India, throughout the world, and who also was a lover of the Bhagavad Gita, although he, you know, preached more on the basis of do your duty. You're not entitled to results of your duty. Just do your duty, you know, which is a convenient kind of preaching for, you know, political leader, to inspire the people to work hard and, you know, not expect much in return, to serve the nation. He didn't go into the higher sort. That verse is in the second chapter, isn't it? He didn't go into the higher, you know, meaning and understanding of Gita, but still had a good, you know, reverence and love for the Bhagavad Gita. This is certainly laudable. Prabhupada did write to, he was a follower actually of Gandhi, Prabhupada, in his youth. He always wore khadi cloth, and he also didn't accept his diploma from Scottish Churches College as an act of protest against the British government. And when he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, Prabhupada and his friend, that you're intelligent young men, you should take to Krishna consciousness, you know, preach it widely. I don't know the exact words, and preach it all over the world, or preach it in English language, or preach widely, whatever. You know, this was quite a shock for the young Abhay Charan. And he actually put forward the argument that surely India should become independent first, and then we can think about, you know. Preaching with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no, this can't wait, it's too urgent, you know. Governments come and go, they change, but Krishna consciousness is, you know, the prime necessity. That was in 1922, huh? I mean, India didn't get independence till 1947, 25 years later, so there'd been quite a few people who would have come and gone in that period, left their bodies over. So an urgent matter, you know, they need to get Krishna consciousness before they leave. This was a correct observation by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada was convinced, actually. He said, right from that time I accepted him as my spiritual master, not officially, but within the heart. So he actually became converted from being a follower of Gandhi to becoming a follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One thing he said about Gandhi was that among politicians he was a saint, but among saints he was a politician. So yeah, when he's compared to politicians, certainly he was a great person, great saint, but in comparison to those who are fully absorbed in hearing and chanting, well, he wasn't on that level. And Prabhupada wrote to him after India got independence and said, now, you know, why don't you preach the Bhagavad Gita widely? But he didn't get a reply. Another thing, I personal experience in Hyderabad once, I was in Srila Prabhupada's room with Harisori Prabhu. There were some other gentlemen in the room there, some, you know, respectable gentlemen. Prabhupada said to them that Gandhi, he spent so much of his blood to drive the British out from India. He said, but now you see this Britisher here, he was pointing at Harry, so he is giving me massage every day. And this Britisher here, he was pointing at me, he's distributing my books. So he said, who is better, Gandhi or me? So like that. He was a follower of Gandhi in youth, but ultimately we can say he became even greater. Gandhi's accomplishments are great, no doubt, but Srila Prabhupada's accomplishments are even greater because he has spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada, he liked to use that, those sort of examples and terminology. Actually, he told me that the British were famous for courage and expansion. The sun never set on the British Empire. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Shishi Gopalji Shishi Gornitai Ki. He said, even America is your creation. He said, so in the same way, he said, you should spread the empire of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Actually, a couple of times he told me like that. Once here in Mumbai, Juhu, another time in Vrindavan. And I was reading a conversation between Prabhupada and one school teacher in Bhaktivedanta manner, and Prabhupada was saying to him, yes, formerly the British had a vast empire all over the world, but now it has shrunk down to one small island. UK, you know, it's not very big area-wise. He said, but he said, if you listen to me, he said, I can help you to spread this empire all over the world again, he said. Empire of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, actually, the emperor who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, on the instruction of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he didn't see himself as being a great personality. He always gave the credit to his spiritual master. Once in the manor, I was in his room and he was saying, "I have no qualification. My only qualification is that I have tried to follow the instructions of my spiritual master." So in this way, he always gave the credit to his spiritual master and saw his spiritual master as a great Mahatma, the real Mahatma. And these are the qualities of the Mahatma. We can see in them in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in Srila Prabhupada. They were always preaching Krishna consciousness, glorifying Krishna, chanting the holy names of Krishna, working very hard to preach Krishna consciousness, but always very humble, always bowing down to the Lord and the Lord's devotees. So in that way, these greats or these Mahatmas, they are perpetually worshipping the Lord with devotion eternally. So our aspiration should be to follow in their footsteps and to assist them in their service to Krishna. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question or comment? Yes, please. Mahaprabhu Das. Any microphone here?
Maharaj, you said that Mahatma always chant the, as slokan, the, always chant the glory of the Lord. Now, we try to follow, means we want to chant first, we want to learn that first principle. And for that, you said we should be humble and we should chant our jap attentively as much as possible. Or we have also heard said we must be just like Draupadi was crying. We have heard all this, but when we start chanting, we don't get that mood at all. So how to reach to that stage so we can chant properly?
How to reach? Go on chanting. Go on chanting. Even if our chanting is not perfect, we have to go on chanting. The more we chant, the more our consciousness will be purified. Chanting, japa, and kirtan. Kirtan is actually especially important. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that kirtan is the king of sadhana. Kirtan is even more effective than japa. Kirtan, this is a Sankirtan movement. The Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. So, you know, sometimes devotees, they think just chant a japa. It took a vow to chant 16 rounds. That's all that's important. But actually, kirtan is even more important. We should chant congregationally. It is very powerful. And if we chant regularly in kirtan, this will help us to improve the quality of our japa. But even if, you know, we don't have the highest sentiments, still we go on chanting, the purification will take place. Sometimes we will get glimpses, you know, of a higher mood. Gradually, by Krishna's mercy, you may be able to develop, you know, more and more intimate feelings of Krishna consciousness, but we cannot force it. It's something that Krishna will bestow upon us by his mercy. And so just try to go on chanting as attentively as possible. Join the kirtan as much as possible. Hear the Bhagavad Gita. Serve the deities, serve the devotees. It is up to Krishna what he will bestow upon us. Let us just be servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. That in itself is ecstatic. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes, yes, yes. Your good self.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. Maharaj, it happens when, as we are working, and it happens like when we are in an office, the role changes. And in fact, the job is also that way, that it demands a lot of passion also. And that time, to keep ourselves back of the mind, yes, you're still a devotee. We tend to satisfy ourselves at the end of the day, I'm doing because to lead a Krishna conscious life, and being grihastha, you need money, that's why you're working. But, deep inside the feeling is there. No, there are material desires, X, Y, Z options are there. There are material desires. And
Lower the mic a little, I can see your mouth, okay. I can understand you better.
Sorry, Maharaj. Yeah. So these things keeps us away from the real goal for the chanting our rounds and keeping the mood, and that passion takes over, and by the time we end our day, it's so late, and sometimes at 11 o'clock at night, and so it's one day gone. And then we come in association after 1 week. And you feel you have lost, opportunities gone. Other devotees are blissful, but we are the losers. And how to keep ourselves so that we maintain somehow or other.
Well, at least it's increasing your hankering to associate with the devotees, isn't it? All that work in the office and association with persons who are, not practicing Krishna consciousness. It's an austerity, no doubt, but that's austerity that certain members of the society have to go through in order to maintain the society. Grihasthas, it said, they're the backbone of society. Grihasthas have duty to protect women, children, old people, support everybody, the brahmacharis, the sannyasis. This is a big responsibility. It's a position of service to others. In order to execute that service Krishna consciously, of course, you have to have good sadhana. So at home, you should have kirtan. Prabhupada, he gave 4 items for grihasthas, which he said they should execute, important activities. They should have kirtan at home. They should read the books at home. Can sit and read Bhagavad Gita in the family. They should have some altar, some deity, or some, in a form of a picture also, Panchatattva. So they should worship the Lord and on the altar. And they should offer their food to Krishna and take prasadam. So grihasthas, they shouldn't think, just once a week come to the temple and rest of the time, just work. No, at home also, sadhana should be there. Keeping Krishna in the center, and it makes the home into a temple. Keep a wonderful Krishna conscious atmosphere. I'm staying in the house of Vamsi Gopal Das. Nice deity there. I don't know how much kirtan and japa they're doing. I hope. By coming to the temple regularly, if you live near the temple, of course, and can come regularly, that's very nice. But if you live far away, must have some kirtan in the home, some sadhana. This will give you Krishna consciousness, so you can work and not be too affected. And of course, many devotees give their association to others in the workplace. They influence others to become Krishna conscious. It's very nice. So like that, it may be austerity, but you know, try to adjust your life, your time in such a way that you can be as Krishna conscious as possible. And when you get the chance to come to the temple and associate with all the devotees, how wonderful ecstasy. Those are moments you can really treasure, you can really appreciate. Sometimes those who live in a temple, they're in a temple all the time. They might not appreciate so much. They might be hankering to go outside the temple. But for those, you know, who are actually outside and have to experience that contact with non-devotees, this should make them, you know, appreciate the importance of association of devotees and value it very highly and hanker for it, and thus increase their Krishna consciousness. So, you know, we have to try to see the Krishna conscious opportunities in all situations and take strength from the association and example of other devotees. But still, obviously, you know, especially the men, they have that duty in society. They have to fulfill their duty. Just as Arjuna, he had to go and fight in a battle. It's a very rough responsibility. He had to do it. Krishna insisted that he do it. So he became glorious because he accepted it, that responsibility to perform his duty and to perform it with devotion to Krishna. So this was also told by Lord Brahma to Priyavrata. You know Priyavrata, he was the son of Svayambhuva Manu, and Svayambhuva Manu was getting old. He wanted his son to become the emperor. But Priyavrata was a disciple of Narad Muni, and he didn't want to marry. He wanted to go and live in the forest and practice austerities, practice Krishna consciousness. But Lord Brahma was preaching to him, you have to accept, you know, your position in society according to your karma, the particular family you're born in. You have to accept these things and you have to fulfill your responsibility in society, but be Krishna conscious at the same time. So like that, take it as the Lord's arrangement and do your best to be Krishna conscious and to make your home into a temple and be grateful for what you have. Some people live far, far away from the temple. Siberia, far away somewhere. Cannot get such close association with devotees. But here, you know, not far. You can come easily to Radha Gopinath Mandir. So many wonderful devotees, so many senior devotees are coming here. So you count your blessings, as it is said. Be grateful and be as Krishna conscious as possible and try to help others to be Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll finish there. Thank you very much. It's a great honor to come here to the Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir and have the association of so many wonderful devotees. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki, Sri Sri Gopal ji ki, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi Haribo.